Thanks for downloading this podcast from WJFK.com. It's just as easy to go to LiveNation.com, click a couple times, and get your tickets to the Family Values Tour, featuring Korn, Evanescence, and more, Saturday, July 28th at Nissan Pavilion. Tickets for the Family Values Tour are on sale now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Just a bunch of white trash.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know if you caught the Bill O'Reilly gab fest last night. No, here was his breaking news about that chick from Aruba. Okay.
The Factor has learned from sources we have to protect that Natalie Holloway, the 18-year-old Alabama woman who disappeared 2 years ago in Aruba, died from cardiac arrest brought on by an overdose of cocaine. According to top law enforcement officials, Natalie ingested the cocaine with Joran Vandersloot and one of the Calpo brothers. Her body was then disposed in the ocean. This is information that the Factor has not been able to confirm independently because there is no body.
All right, so then the family priest responds.
Bill O'Reilly, spin doctor for his father the devil.
Yep.
Bill O'Reilly, the Fox TV loudmouth, who brags on his show called The Factor, that he's always fair and balanced, and that The Factor is a no-spin zone. That Bill O'Reilly is a demon-possessed messenger of Satan.
Yeah. Hello.
Somebody got it right. Hey, look at that box.
Oh, good God. It is just without a doubt the dirtiest box I've ever seen.
Oh, it's a shine box.
Don and Mike, go home and get your shine box.
Thanks, Phil.
They poke the bear. Don and Mike.
Look at the size of his unit.
Yeah. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there, guys. I got a couple things I want to say.
Really?
All these people talking about it's, the dogfighting been around for centuries and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh!
What not?
Sorry, you're disqualified.
So sorry. Thanks for playing. And I've heard on these news reports, what is a rape stand? Have you heard that? Is it a rake stand or a rape stand? They're talking
I like
about,
rape.
It's a training device for the dogs. Don't Has anybody heard
that.
This one?
All right,
just thought I'd throw that out
about
there.
It. Into it. Guy broke the whatnot rule. You cannot say that on this show.
Right.
It's like exposing your stupidity for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don.
Yes, and Mike. We're both here.
Hi, Mike. It's Mike Vick.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's happening, Mike?
So, I want to talk about this dog fighting.
Who are you?
Can I just jump in to say a rape stand is used to force dogs to mate?
Oh. Well, show me how it works, Buzz.
I will, during the break.
It's not just dogs, Buzz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some married couples need it.
To force dogs to mate?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, Rob and Carrie have the human version.
I have two kids.
You've used it twice.
Actually, we've used it three times, only successfully twice.
All right, are you done with your Michael Vick impression?
I want to talk about the dog fighting.
Right.
That's horrible.
Terrible.
Terrible.
I hear that the people trying to F me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Let's talk about one of my friends.
Hello.
F you and your families, too.
Don and Mike Show.
Now let's talk about
the Yeah, you there?
Been here the whole time. Heard you breathe it. You're one of those guys that breathes.
You guys doing?
You're one of those guys that breathes through your mouth instead of through your nose.
I do. I apologize for that. Hey, I'm with you guys on this dog fighting thing. But what's interesting is I'm pro abortion. Doesn't that make me an idiot? Are you guys idiots?
No, it's different.
No, come on. Listen, we're talking.
Well, what are people throwing other issues into this for?
Why don't you stop this?
This started with deer hunting.
Stop it. Just
and it's escalated.
Yeah. Just stop it. Listen, here's the bottom line on this.
Right.
We're right. And if you think dog fighting is right, you're wrong.
And there's no such thing as pro-abortion. It's pro-choice.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
I'm pro-abortion.
Well, just for certain listeners.
Certain listeners, double pro.
Extra.
All pro.
All pro.
All pro.
All pro abortion.
We could have the Pro Bowl of abortion with some of our retarded callers.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to be pro abortion if you overuse the rape stand.
The rape
Otherwise,
stand.
I mean, you'd be broke.
Jesus. A
House
rape stand.
Full of kids.
Wow. Okay, hold on. Let me change the topic for one moment. Good. This will get us off this dog thing.
Good.
One of the markets that we broadcast to live every day is Albuquerque, New Mexico, where we're live on
radio.
KBB's. I'm getting the. It's KB and there's a Z and a U and a. We're on.
You know
live.
Who you are.
KBZU.
1 to 5. That might be it. I bring that up for this reason. I used to work. Give me a second to do a quick reset. long time ago, BM, I worked at this radio station before Mike, WLS in Chicago, which is the other than working with Mike, the highlight of my career.
Sure.
The big top 40 station. I wanted to work there my whole life. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, they were having this, like almost a reunion weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing something called the WLS Rewind.
Well, I remember hearing about that.
And they were having a bunch of people fly in. As it turns out, I couldn't go. That was the weekend that I was dealing with my stalker in court.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not able to go to this thing, but they've kept in touch with me. And there's a whole big, because WLS was such a phenomenal radio station from 1962 till about 1985, the people that work there are almost a fraternity.
Family.
And there is a list of employees. Turns out between program directors, music directors, and disc jockeys and news people, sports people, there were 83 people that worked at the station.
Relatively small group for that many years.
And it's a group that keeps in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I just received my latest copy of the Where Are They Now WLS update for this year.
Yeah. I bet there's some legendary people on there.
Oh, there's a lot of great ones. 12 people have passed away.
Oh, my.
A lot of people have retired. Uh-huh. A lot of people are still doing radio. But the one that caught my eye was right down here. Larry Lujack.
Yes. What is your all-time nemesis Larry Lujack up to?
He is in semi-retirement in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Now, we have never broadcast. We were in Albuquerque a brief time about 5 or 6 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, whenever that thing was.
About 15.
But we're back now. And listen, without giving you a lot of backstory that nobody cares about, this guy Larry Lujack, back in the day, back in the 70s, he was Super Jock.
Right.
This guy was the role model to a generation of disc jockeys.
Yes.
I had the pleasure of working at WLS with him, where he hated me and ridiculed me mm-hmm. and tortured me and teased me and taunted me.
Perhaps secretly loving you the whole uh-huh. time.
And then I went back to Chicago and did the morning show against him
right.
and had great fun making fun of him and got like the cease and desist order from WLS to stop it.
And when he sent you the famous letter, right?
Right. He sent me a letter that said, "Dear Don, the eagle does not hunt flies."
What a great line. I've used that line a million times since I first heard you say it.
But the problem with that, like I've said all along, and even when we say it and people call us on it and they're
right.
true, sure, he sent me a letter that said the eagle doesn't hunt flies. But the fact that he sent the letter
meant that you were under his skin.
Right. So even if he's
so
the eagle.
He was contradicting himself.
Either way.
He was acknowledging you.
But this is a guy who, I really don't know. This was so long ago. This was 1981. I don't know if he really didn't like me. I don't know if he just thought that I was a young guy full of piss and vinegar, or if I was just the new kid on the block,
right.
so he was just going to rake me over the coals.
Right.
Was he the one who got you stuck in the airlock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one. That's when the whole Super Jock thing came.
Yeah, call me Super right. Jock, right?
I did the overnight shift one night, and he did the morning show.
This story of all the ones you've told over the years, I picture this one more than anything
me
else.
Me too.
Yeah.
WLS Radio is in the Stone Container Building in Chicago, a big, gigantic office complex. To get to WLS, ahead of their time, there was electronic security, like we have now. You had to walk through air spaces uh-huh. to get to airlocks to get to where the studio was.
Right.
You had to stand at the front door and wave to be let in. Nobody had keys.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be let in. There was always an engineer there. To be let out, you had to wave, and the guy had to, after hours, push a button to let you out.
Buzz you out. Yeah.
So Larry Lujack is late for work one day. See, the way that they would do it at the station was, because it was so hard to get on staff, they had a full-time position that was pretty much utility guy.
Right.
And that's what I was
hired. Vacation relief, right?
Yeah. That's what I was hired for, what Brant Miller was hired for. A lot of guys were. And you just waited for the next opening. And until then, you did every shift when anybody went on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You were the one guy that filled in for everybody. I did that until I got the nighttime shift. So I'm doing the overnight shift.
Right.
And Larry Lujack's supposed to be in at 5:30.
Right.
And the rule was, if he wasn't there, you just played jingles and you didn't say anything.
Cover. Played jingles and music.
Right. You played Larry Lujack, blah, 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 blah. And you were working with an engineer. So you're on one side of the glass, and all you would really do is just point. Mm-hmm. just point, play the jingle, play the record.
Right.
Well, I started talking.
Oh.
Hey, it's after 5:30. Where's Larry? Huh? Where's Larry? Ha-ha, where's Larry? Where's Larry?
Oh, dear.
He got there about 5:45, which I guess, as I found out later when Mike and I did a morning show, every morning guy in the world does this.
Right. That's true. Right. It's hard to get up that early every morning.
The 5:30 start time was always slightly bendable.
Anytime you hear a morning radio show that starts at 5:30, they're either playing a tape.
Right. Right.
Or they're playing a record, or they're doing something besides the show.
Sure.
Well, I didn't know this, so I talked a little bit, just a
and it was the first time you'd done that shift, right?
Yes, absolutely. And as I was leaving, he walked into 6:15 with his cowboy hat.
Of course.
He wore it before Imus.
Okay. That's probably where Imus got it from.
Uh-huh. Came into the studio, as usual, said nothing to me. I mean, now, the way it worked out was much like our sit up here, Mike. The jock was on one side.
Right.
And the engineer was on another side, like Buzz is. Right.
Okay.
So I walk in the room, and there's no buffer between me and Larry Lujan. There's an engineer in the next room, and the monitor's playing whatever record that's playing, and the log is out, and he doesn't say anything. He just walks in and hangs up his cowboy hat and walks over and sits down behind the mic and then says to the engineer, whatever, you know, all right, what do we got coming up? And I leave. Uh-huh. And I get out to the airlock. Now, this is on a Saturday morning.
I can see you not talking to him, though, either. You didn't say anything to him, either, did
no,
you?
No. I was petrified.
Yeah, of course.
Please. I mean, this is a guy that I had listened to and idolized when I was a kid.
Big deal. Real big deal.
And I didn't mean anything by this.
Was there even a nod? Even any acknowledgement whatsoever?
No. Listen, Larry Lujack was the epitome of being a prick and cool, and he could get away with it.
Okay. All
right. And what it was, from my part, was not the fact that I was trashing Larry Lujack. In my mind, I was finally going to be able to do the morning show on WLS.
Right. Okay. Dream come
so true. I wanted at least a couple of breaks of being on in the morning.
On tape, sure.
Anyway, he comes in. He comes in. He doesn't say anything. Just hangs up his cowboy hat. And I leave. Go through the jock lounge area. Get out to the airlock where I look up at the little video thing, and I wave, and the engineer gives me the buzz that leaves me. Now I'm away from the office, the bathroom, the studios, everything, and I'm in an airlock that's, again, about as big as this studio, and there's a door there that's locked to my right and a door to my left that's locked. The door that's right goes to the studio. Door that's left leads outside to the elevator.
And ultimate control for the door out to the elevator was in the hands of the disc jockey.
Absolutely.
Not the engineer.
Yes, and I am in a glass cage at that point. Now, the engineer can buzz people in, but I'm sure that Lujack told him not to.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, I'm out there, and I'm waving and waving. And keep in mind, they're all the way inside the building. I cannot see them.
It's a camera.
From where I am. It's a camera. And then about 6 o'clock, they switch studios because he had his own studio.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio that he used was the window studio to the lobby.
Right.
The only reason he used it is because it was his studio and no one was in early in the morning.
Ah. So at this point, can you have eye contact with him?
I'm looking at the back of his head.
Oh.
See, now when I'm in the airlock and I'm just waving and nothing's happening, and I've been out there 15 minutes. It's after 6 a.m.
You can't get back in.
I cannot. I've hit the button and nobody's doing anything. All of a sudden, I see the drapes open up for the window studio.
Right.
And I see him walk in. And I see the engineer on the other side of the glass. And I'm doing the whole thing like, hey, you know, SOS. Nobody's looking at me.
Huh.
He's just doing his show.
And he knows you're out there.
Of course he does.
Sure.
And at that point, on a Saturday morning, here's what his show involves. WLS, Larry Lujack, 802. That would be really all
it.
He would do.
That's all he had to do.
So then he would just sit there.
He would sit there. It's back in the day. He was doing a Saturday shift, right?
Yeah. So he would sit there with his back to me, and this went on for about 15 minutes until I actually went over and did this thing on the glass, right?
I could see
that. So then he turns around, and now I'm hearing him through the intercom.
Oh, no.
What do you want?
You got to let me out.
No, I don't.
Please let me out.
You know, you weren't supposed to go on at 5:30.
You're not even supposed to be anywhere near me at 5:30.
Then he would just turn around, and now I wouldn't be able to hear. I would see him. I would see the back of his head.
Of course.
He's having a conversation with the engineer. He's using his arms. He's animated.
We're chatting.
Then I would hear, you know, I'd see the on-air light go on. And again, it would be,
WLS, Larry Lujack. Now 19 until 7, WLS.
An hour now.
And I'm dying. It's an hour. And I'm
how's the air in the airlock?
It's okay.
You're right. I mean, it's not cold or hot or anything.
No, it's just, it's annoying. And I go to the window. I've literally been out there 1 hour. There are two people in the radio station.
Did you notice the engineer smirking or laughing at all?
Oh, the engineer was loving it.
Okay.
Loving it. There's two people inside the station, the engineer and Larry Lujack. There's one guy in the airlock. That's me.
Nobody
else. It's a Saturday. There's nobody coming up to save me.
Right. Not going to be either.
So finally, I keep doing the thing on the window, and I hear on the intercom,
do you want to go home?
I'm like, yes, please.
Say, I'm sorry, Super Jock.
And you didn't want to, right?
No, and it was like, oh, my God, are you serious about this? Yeah. I mean, I was really looking at him.
Seeing that would encourage him even more.
Even in the look,
you had that look on your face. It's like, this isn't funny.
And then he said,
suit yourself.
And then he went and turned around.
Because you wouldn't say, I'm sorry, Super Jock.
And then he made me wait a good 15 minutes because it was now after 7 a.m.
Oh,
keep in mind, he arrived at 5:35. After 7 a.m., he turns around. And at this point, I don't know, he's got coffee or something.
Sure.
But whatever it is, he turns around and he goes,
this looks good, doesn't it?
And then at that point, it finally boiled down to, and I'm still just outside going,
tap, tap, tap.
Please, please. And I hear,
call me Super Jock.
Think about that.
And I looked, at him through the window, and I'm like, oh. Please. And all I hear through this little tinny speaker in the corner is,
call me Super Jock.
And he wore me down. Uh-huh. And finally at 7:30, 2 hours later,
Jesus.
I turned around and I looked directly at the big mirror, the big plate glass window. Yeah. I said, please let me go, Super Jock. He said,
that's all you had to say.
He won.
And
he, buzz.
And he opened up the door, and I got away.
Did you flip him off as you were walking away?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Not Larry Lujack, Mike. Not Larry Lujack.
Oh, I love that one. In the airlock.
Call me Super Jock.
Super Jock.
On a Saturday
Didn't
morning.
He say at one point, I don't hear you unless you call me Super Jock?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not giving you all of the details because I've told the story so many times.
Never get tired of it.
That's the part I don't hear you unless you call me Super Jock.
And what was great was that when I went to work at B96, the competing station, I had a tape because Larry Lujack would get calls about me during a show.
Right.
And he would say stuff like, that's the biggest insult in the world to say that I sound like Don Geronimo. So I had all of these tapes of Larry that I would play when I went to work at the competing station. And that's what started the whole Eagle and Hunt Flies thing. So
cease and desist.
Most of these people at WLS that I worked with and I consider to be the people that I looked up to, my mentors when I was coming up in the business, many of them I'm still good friends with, like John Landecker and Fred Winston. Mm-hmm. Little Tommy Edwards,
right.
But Larry Lujack is a guy, here's what I would like. This is totally selfish on my part, and now we get to why I brought this up. He's close to Albuquerque. He's just an old fart in a cowboy hat who lives on a golf course.
Right.
I would pay $1,000 to anybody in Albuquerque. Now, don't do anything like knock on the guy's door,
no.
But if anybody knows him, if they could get him to call the show, I just want him to admit that I made it.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's worth a try.
I just want him to admit that I made it.
I had no idea where you were going with this.
That's what I want, Mike.
You want some satisfaction
from Larry Lujack.
How long has he been under your skin?
Mike, I listened to him starting in 1970.
Right.
I worked with him in 1981. Until 1983, it is now 2007, and I still haven't let it go.
I love it, though. I think that's great.
He doesn't have to say he likes me.
No. You know what?
He doesn't have to say he cares for me.
Right.
He has to admit.
He might not.
I made it.
Worth a try.
He also might not do that.
Worth a try.
But what if it was $1,000 for his favorite charity?
You know, well, I thought you were just paying somebody to find him.
Well, yeah. There
You're
would be
paying a, somebody to then, find oh, him no, and get yeah, him to
well,
call.
Hold on. First, there would be the $1,000 to get him to call in.
Right.
That would be for the listener.
Right.
Then I would offer him $1,000 for his favorite charity.
Very good.
If I could just get him on tape saying,
"Hi, this is Larry Lujak. Don's made it."
That's all I want, Mike.
Just, you know.
Listen, these are the things now.
Why do I feel that we're going to have months, a few months of loose ends being tied up?
Well,
this is like a little loose end.
That's
isn't
all right.
It?
I'm sorry that it is a loose end.
It is.
But, you know.
Do you think we got a shot at it? Do you think we got a shot at Larry Lujak calling?
I think maybe we do. I'd love to get him on the air.
I bet he'd be funny.
I bet he would be a total horse's ass.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, that would be funny, though.
That's part of the reason I was always very fond of him. You know?
Right.
The clunk letter of the day.
Well, you'd be honest with him, too, and you would say that you've looked up to him.
He knew
over the
that.
Years.
My he God, knows. He knew that.
See, but you need to verbalize that. That's but, like a father saying,
but
to,
here's
you know.
I know that I went overboard when I got the job there. One of the first things that I did when I met him, and I remember, why is it you remember these things so clearly? I remember saying right up front, "My God, I had a Super CFL belt buckle that you sent me." And he said, "I never sent you anything. You must have won some contest. Is that what happened?" And I said, "Yeah." I mean, it was like, I thought I wanted to, I never gave you anything.
It's really just that miserable a person?
The Jim McMahon thing.
Oh, well, we've already got his phone number. Okay. Well, that was
very good.
That was pretty quick.
It was.
We'll work on that. All right. I guess we don't need a listener to help us out now.
How about that? That's exciting.
$1,000 to John Norman.
John, congratulations.
All right. Well, we'll get to this maybe in the next break.
Very good. Nothing. Although, no time like the present.
Although maybe, you know, see, the thing is, how awkward is that? Call a guy and say, "Hey, I haven't talked to you for 25 years. I'm a stain in your underpants. How about coming on the air and admitting that I made it? And I give you $1,000.
You know, that would be difficult. Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah,
let's,
we have to.
Let's do this first. And then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Always imitated, never duplicated. The Family Values Tour. Still the best value of the summer.
I do not dare deny the basic beats inside.
Featuring Korn and Evanescence. Saturday, July 28th, Nissan Pavilion. Plus special guest, Atreyu. Flyleaf. Hell Yeah and Trivium. Plus another set of bands on the Guitar Hero Second Stage. All lawn tickets, just $9.99. Tickets available at the Nissan Pavilion box office. All Ticketmaster locations charged by phone and online at Ticketmaster.com and LiveNation.com. The Family Values Tour 2007. The most kick-ass lineup. Korn, Evanescence, Atreyu, Flyleaf, Hell Yeah, and Trivium. Sponsored by Guitar Hero. Produced by Live Nation. Go!